And these are the two texts, or the Matthew 2, 13 and following, and the Matthew 2, 1 through 12 are typical texts for the Sunday after Christmas. And one of them is very upbeat, and the other one's a little hard. But I chose these texts, and I started searching through the Matthew 2, and I put down selected verses, but I ended up getting to Matthew 2, 13 through 23, so I didn't cut it up too much. But Herod is part of this, and Herod was a mean person. Killed his own kids, and one of them is in this text. Archelaus is in the text. So you have the Magi and the joy, and then you have the reality that Jesus came into this world as it is. Matthew 2, 13 through 23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My guess is that you all have been around the church long enough to know that the reading this morning contains parts that are frequently read on the first Sunday after Christmas: the Magi first and Herod's shenanigans second. The hymn usually sung begins with "We three kings of Orient are." The Gospel of Matthew begins chapter 2 with "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the child who was born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' They offered Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh, three gifts. But aside from that, we don't know much about those people. People from the east. They have been called magi, kings, and wise men, but they remain for us a mysterious bunch who were summoned summoned by Herod, who was frightened. Herod was frightened when he heard of Jesus' birth. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they, the Magi, left for their own country by another road. In short, over the years, you might say that the wise men have become the stuff of legend. Out of the mystery of their past, the assumed experts of dreams, of omens, and prophesying journeyed across the desert because they believed the stars. They appeared for a short time to adore the Christ child, and they disappeared forever. As we follow this text this morning, we might be bold enough to say it is a story of two kings, of Jesus and Herod. And it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. In the beginning of chapter 2, the whole scene makes for a glorious Christmas pageant. But there is more, as you well know. The plot really thickens. Matthew is a good writer. He introduces Herod early on in the story, in the time of Herod after Jesus was born. Sets the context. We have a frightened king. We have an arrogant king. And we have a murderous king. But Joseph has four dreams in this story. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And again, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt." And again in Egypt, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel." And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. "So go home by another road," the Magi are told. It becomes a journey that begins in one belief. Belief in the stars, in the power of dreams, belief in prophecy, belief in the power of governments, the self-sufficiency of humanity, of science, of the culture, of the things of this world, as the Bible often puts it. It is a journey that believes in a little bit of this and a little bit of that, until we finally see the Christ child. So what do at Christmas? We decorate sanctuaries. We worship. We try to understand what God has done for us when we return home by new paths. Emmanuel, God with us, gives us a new perspective and a new way to live with the things of this world, even with the Herods in our lives and such. Perhaps it is the Herods and such that we would rather not talk about. But you see that there is the second half of Matthew 2 leads us to speak about these things, which are not so easy to speak about. It is my responsibility as your preacher to bring you on any given Sunday the gospel truth, even though that truth is filtered through my experience. I confess to you that in 30 years of ministry, I've wrestled with this text that is dubbed the slaughter of the innocents. Only once, 25 or so years ago. This is the second time I've been back to it. But it is traditionally one of today's texts that the church calls us to pay attention to. It is a bit like talking about the elephant in the living room, or in the closet, or wherever the elephant happens to be. But it comes to us as we think and celebrate. It's not Christmas stuff. But the plot thickens. The Magi have one dream, but Herod's spies apparently got none, and the Holy Family slips out of Egypt and back again at the right time. Matthew's Christmas pageant ends with Rachel weeping for her children because a crazed, insecure, vicious king recognized Jesus for who he was, a rival. Herod recognized Jesus as a threat to everything upon which Herod's kingdom was based. Thus, Herod entered a long line of leaders of our age, Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao, Osama bin Laden, Idi Amin, and a whole lot of others, including contemporaries as well. Some of these people do not mind a little bit of murder in order to gain power. The world calls it Iraq, Nazi Germany, Armenia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, just to name a few. The Bible calls it Bethlehem. The list is too darn long. But the world often stands by quietly while the genocide goes on because people make money from power and grabbing wars and such. And there is a lot of collateral damage. If we pay attention to the local and global news, we can't escape the fact that tragedy doesn't take a holiday just because it's Christmas. It appears to be the kind of reality that we go back to this week. We celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace, but this week we return to a world of terrible violence where countries and religions are at war and innocent children suffer and are killed every day, if not by shell fragments, then by hunger and disease. And I wish I could conjure up a nice story for you under these circumstances, a story that will fix things, but I can't. So why wrestle with this text, you might ask? Because 3 children die per minute because there is no preventative medicine available to help them survive. Matthew saw the link between the suffering of his people and Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The good news is that in the midst of the Herods and the lost children and the homeless and the refugees of our world, God is with us, as inscrutable as that might seem. The good news is that despite what human beings do to one another out of cruelty, fear, and greed, we cannot ultimately thwart God's plan for salvation. The good news is that in the midst of depression, loneliness, and loss, God is suffering alongside us and offering the hope that only God can give. That is the message that we so urgently need to share with each other this 12 days of Christmas. Especially for those for whom This is a most difficult season. Along with spreading Christmas cheer, perhaps we should simply reach out to someone who is sad or lonely or depressed, someone who has lost a loved one or is fearful for their son or daughter in Iraq or Afghanistan. Maybe we just need to call them to let them know that we are thinking of them. Or maybe we just need to visit and sit quietly and listen. Let them know through our words or our presence that we don't have to be merry, but that they are not alone and that God is with them, even if it is through us. To compare our lives to a journey is nothing new. It is popular today, as it has been for years, for writers and of theology and spiritual direction to refer to life as a faith journey. Every year during the season of Advent, we heighten the emphasis on our journey towards the same Christ child that the Magi sought. We travel with a sense of expectation and adventure, seeking to discover anew the hope, the joy, and the love, and the peace that the Gospels tell us about and those four things that we celebrate during Advent. You might say it is a search for Jesus amid a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We are called to move on from the hope, the love, the peace, and the joy of the manger scene to live those things in the heat of all that is wrong with this world. After we have been to the manger and experienced this child, which has come to pass, we have to take it on the road. The new way home is the way that says to the hungry, "We will help you find a way to be fed." That says to the homeless, "We will help you find a way to be housed." That says to the poor, "We will help you find a way to get out of poverty." That says to everyone, "You are my brother and sister, and you are welcome in my house." That says to those who can't cope, "We will help you as many times as you have need." The Magi asked, "Where is he?" Because they have come to worship the new king. Herod is distressed and threatened, and oddly enough, he asks the same question, "Where is he?" Because Herod wants to kill. The star leads the Magi to Jesus, and they fall down and worship and open up their gifts. Warned, they left for their own country by another road, another way. The whole business is quite mysterious when you think about it. But it seems to me that the story has a lot to say about our life's journey. Christmas has come. After Christmas, we have a choice. We can turn to the things that Herod stands for, or we can turn our faith in Jesus and all the things that he stands for. Our choice makes all the difference in this world. One of my favorite pieces of poetry, "Two Roads." Diverged in the wood. And I, I took the one least traveled on, and it has made all the difference. Amen.